WTBQ. Hello and welcome to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and I thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station, WTBQ. And don't forget, we are now 93.5 FM, as well as our very faithful 1110 AM. And I hope you're doing well on this Tuesday morning here on in New York. And it's a gorgeous day. It's an absolutely lovely day here. And we are going to talk today about a beautiful book that my guest is coming up in just a moment. Linda Daly has written about her mother. Her mother was a lovely woman who lived a very charmed life. She had an absolutely beautiful life. She was very not only successful, but she was really influential, and she made a difference in the world. Unfortunately, she died young, and it was not an easy death, which is exactly what Linda Daly is talking about in her book, The Last Pilgrimage. Her mother was married to the head of Warner Brothers and then the mayor in Los Angeles. And she just, as I said, she lived a very prominent life. She lived a very active life. She made a difference in charities. She was a philanthropist. And she just had a charming life that really was cut too short. The book is beautiful. It's a beautiful book. The Jamie Lee Curtis says that The Last Pilgrimage, which is the name of the book, is a gorgeous love story and spiritual travelogue wrapped in a wonderfully written, funny, and fantastic memoir. And she's right. This is a beautiful book. It's a wonderful book to read. And I'm going to talk with Linda Daly right now. And I want to welcome Linda to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm terrific. Thank you so much for joining me. And I'm sorry about your mom, but congratulations on the book. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet. I mean, it's such a sad story. And you've done such a beautiful job with it. And not only do I wish you the best of luck, but it must have been a really hard book to write in many ways. And then maybe really helpful in other ways, was it?
It absolutely was. It was, I started this as a chronicle for my children in case they were to have any questions later on. Soon after she died, I really wrote as much as I could. But it was more, you know, like physical details about things. And it wasn't until I got my book contract when I was asked to write, to put words to feelings. Mm. And that was so incredibly difficult. I dug deeper than I thought I even had. It was incredibly hard, but once it started to flow, I think I put the words together pretty well.
You did. You did a beautiful job, and it shows how much you loved her, how heartfelt it is, and how tough the journey was, but it shows so much of her as well as you. I mean, you both come through very openly on this and very nicely. So it's a mother-daughter journey as well as her journey. Now, you tell us a little bit about your mom, Nancy Daly. She got sick in 2006,
yeah.
But before that, she was a very influential woman, wasn't she?
She was incredibly influential. In fact, she was at the height of her career, so to speak. She had founded two incredibly successful children's charities in Los Angeles, one that helps foster children called United Friends of the Children. In fact, part of the proceeds of my book will be going to United Friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And then another one that that helps children. But she was also the board chair of the L.A. County Museum of Art. You know, she was really taking off in a wonderful direction. She was traveling the world. She wanted to incorporate art into education. She wanted to make the museum a more family-friendly place. And then all of that just stopped short with the cancer diagnosis.
This was a surprising diagnosis. It didn't come on slowly, did it?
No, it did not. In fact, after her diagnosis, we looked back to try to figure out if we would have caught this earlier, mm-hmm. and there was absolutely no detection. She was a very healthy woman. She ate really well. She exercised all the time. You know, she was very conscious of her health.
Well, that's really scary for all of us to hear. You know, we just, you don't know, I guess, what's lurking. And it was 2006 that she found out, right?
Yes.
Yes. And she died what year?
In 2009.
Nine, that's what I thought. Yeah. So that was a very short illness as far as illnesses like that go, but it was not easy. You took an RV ride with her. Let me just set the stage a little. You went to Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, to see, what's his name?
John of God.
John of God, right. And I know who he is. I think it was Barbara Walters or somebody like on 2020 that once did a piece on him that it was very publicized. So I only saw that. He seemed so wonderful. But your experience with John of God was not as wonderful. And let me just say, you went there because she was looking for healing. And he is known as a fantastic healer and a miraculous person. So you went there, which most of us would do, to find this wonderful healing from him. Did you find this wonderful healing?
I personally did not find any healing, but I took my mother there for her to be for her, and she really got a lot out of it.
Oh, good. Okay.
You know, when he came on stage, he looked more unhealthy than my mother, and my mother was definitely the sickest person in the room. He needed help walking around. He wasn't. You could just see he was so out of it. But the person my mother saw was this, you know, gift from heaven, this man who was going to cure her. And I was not in a position to impose my feelings and my opinion on her. She was so happy that she was there.
But he did not really, I mean, when you say he wasn't well looking, I mean, but he could still be not well looking and be a wonderful healer. Did he like come over to her and touch her? Did he do anything wonderful like that? Was there, does he interact with people? I mean, in general, I mean, you don't have to be here to like or dislike him, but I mean, was there something wonderful about his presence that made a difference and maybe did give her some hope?
I think for her, yes. There was no physical interaction between him and anybody else. But if you go online and you look at videos of him, he's very interactive when he's at his at the Casa in Brazil.
Right.
But in the States, he was not well. At the point that we were supposed to go through this other area for a personal blessing, he wasn't even available. He wasn't there. There were a lot of times when we were told to keep our eyes closed, and, you know, the cynical side of me was wondering if we were supposed to keep our eyes closed because we really weren't supposed to see how unhealthy this man was. But, you know, then again, my mom got a lot out of it, and I think that, you know, her takeaway from that time was that that experience gave her the peace and the serenity to transition to a different phase.
Okay. Well, then there was good that came out of it for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, you know, seeking some spiritual fulfillment at a time like that is so important and so necessary. And if she found something in him that many of us don't or couldn't at that moment, then that's all that really matters, because certainly it worked for her. But she did not live much longer after that, did she?
No, she was gone within 3 days.
Wow.
After that.
Wow. And yeah. Tell the story, it was in the back of the RV, right?
Yes. My mother's cancer had spread to her lungs. And one of the treatments for that is having your lung drained. It's called a thoracentesis.
Mm.
So she had had three of those prior to our departure. And while we were in Rhinebeck, she was coughing a lot. She was on oxygen, and her oxygen levels never quite got up to where a healthy person should be. So right before we left, or were supposed to leave, the nurse that we were traveling with and I insisted that she go get another chest x-ray, because we thought if she has to get another thoracentesis, we can do that there and then get on a plane the next day.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rush. But it turned out she had a collapsed lung.
Mm.
So she'd been walking around Rhinebeck for 5 days with only one lung, so which, again, is really a testament to my mother's tenacity. But when I called home to tell them that we could not fly because the pressure of the airplane would have actually killed her, my brothers got on a plane from L.A., met us in New York the next morning, and we rented an RV and started to drive her home.
Mm-hmm. Drive her home, meaning Los Angeles.
Yes.
Wow, that's a long drive.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It would have been.
It would have been, yeah. And she didn't make it, but she did die peacefully, didn't she, with you there, and right?
She did. You know, she was headed home for hospice.
Mm-hmm.
We had bought a new bed for her, brand new bed. She'd never been in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of those ones that could go up and down and be in any position, because
right.
we figured this is where she was going to be. It was really just a matter of days or weeks before she was going to pass, but she was going to go home and have everybody she knew come to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for her, it was too much.
No, maybe.
So,
yeah.
you know, if you get to choose the time and place when you're going to go,
mm-hmm.
which I think that she did.
Right.
She chose to be with the three of us.
Okay.
And, you know, we were the most important people ultimately to her. And she shared that moment with us. And it was an extraordinary gift that she gave us.
I bet it was. It must have changed your life. How has this changed your life now that she's gone, that you've written this book, that you've delved into this? I mean, you have a very rich life yourself. I mean, you are very busy. You're the mother of two children. You are a gardener. You're a writer. You're a philanthropist. You live in Los Angeles. You had this wonderful book party at Spago in Beverly Hills. You have a very charmed life yourself. How has this made it richer in many ways?
It absolutely has. You know, the writing this book, I got many rejections in before I finally found the perfect publisher for me. But the question was never about my writing. It was about that they were afraid it was too regional of a story. And I always knew that this is a universal story. Everybody's parents die. We all go
right.
through the same thing. So now that you know, my life, which was, as you said, was already wonderful and very full, now my story is out there for other people to take and use, and hopefully, you know, my message will be helpful for them. And, you know, my mother was an inspiration to me, and I hope that she is to many others even after her death.
Well, you know, throughout your book, she is an inspiration. She's a spiritual inspiration, because what you gained from this, so many of us can gain from this, because as you say, this is a universal trait. Our parents often and usually and hopefully always go before us, so we are there to watch them and to learn something from it. And it's a hard thing to go into not knowing anything, and this book can be very helpful. As far as spiritually, has it changed your religious beliefs?
It has made them stronger.
Mm.
You know, I converted to Judaism from Catholicism when I was pregnant with my son 15 years ago. And that itself was life-changing. But, you know, throughout my mother's illness, I was so angry at God. And as a Catholic, it was very difficult to, you know, kind of voice that opinion. I grew up with nuns and a strict church, and, you know, there was no questioning. You just had to accept.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Jew, I'm able to question and anger and be mad and, you know, have the intellectual pursuit of trying to figure out why God would do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really, this experience has made me closer to my faith.
Well, that's really nice. What made you change from Catholicism to Judaism? Now, your husband is a producer. He's producer on what show? I know that it's a nightly show.
He's on the Jay Leno show.
The Jay Leno show. Okay. So he's a producer of the Jay Leno show, and is he Jewish? Is that why you switch religions?
He is Jewish.
Mm.
However, I was married before to the children's father, and he and I wanted to raise the children with religion.
Uh-huh.
We felt that, you know, they would go through a bar and bat mitzvah, and then they could figure out whatever they wanted to do after that.
Right.
But we've always felt it was important for the children to have a religious identity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my son, who's 14, has decided that he doesn't believe in Judaism anymore. He says he's a man of science. So he, you know, just to... it was important for us to set that stage for them.
Yeah, I agree.
And then have it be a launch point.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he might come around, who knows, but he has that tradition. He has that base.
Yeah.
And it's a good base to have them in. And it's an interesting statement that you make, that you are allowed more to question in the Judaism. I'm not Jewish, but I do like the religion my husband is, and I understand exactly what you mean by that. And you can take that further into like Kabbalism, and, you know, understand that mystical part of Judaism, which is, I think, really spiritual and opens up a whole nother dimension of it. Who do you want to read this book, and who do you, you know, what do you want to say to them?
Well, I mean, of course, I would like everybody to read my book. But, you know, for adult children who have parents who are ill, I think this is a good guide. And the fact that my mother, you know, before she passed, allowed us to ask any questions that we had, anything. Mm-hmm. From our entire lives, we could ask her. She was open to answering anything. It was such an amazing
gift. That's a great thing, yeah.
So to be able to transition from life to death and leave your children with an absolutely clean slate.
That's wonderful.
Is extraordinary.
That is wonderful. That is a wonderful gift. How many people's parents pass away and they have so many questions unanswered, so many issues unanswered. That is a wonderful thing. And you were adopted as well, right?
I was, yes.
Yeah, so obviously you talked about that a little bit and the issues. So you don't have any of these, you know, longing issues that you just didn't resolve before she left. That is a wonderful gift.
Yes, it is.
That is a wonderful gift, and that's a wonderful gift of this book. I'm so glad you wrote all this down for everybody.
Thank you.
That was so good of you. I realize how hard it must have been, and as I said, how helpful and, you know, almost cathartic it was at the same way, at the same time of doing it.
Yes.
Yeah, and your publisher is, just to give them some credit, because as you said, they really took on this project, which was good for them. They are Counterpoint Press in California.
Yes, they are.
So where can everybody get the book?
You can buy it at your local bookstore. Mm-hmm. You can buy it online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You know, it's available everywhere now.
Well, you have wonderful advance praise for it from Marianne Williamson, Jamie Lee Curtis, Carol Bayer Sager, who is married to your stepfather, right?
No, to my dad.
To your dad, okay. Sorry, I know it was connected. And that's lovely. So, you know, you have all this support who have really looked at this book in a spiritual way and have been there for you. You have a wonderful family, and it's a wonderful gift, and I'm very glad you shared this gift with us. It's a terrific book. The Last Pilgrimage is My Mother's Life and Our Journey to Saying Goodbye. Linda Daly, thank you so much for joining us here today. I so appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Everyone, that is on Shannon's Corner. So if you didn't write that down, just go to Shannon's Corner, click there, and everything's there for you. Again, it's a brilliant, beautiful book, The Last Pilgrimage by Linda Daly. Thank you so much for joining us, Linda. We have to take a break, and we come back. We're going to talk about a delightful children's book for this summer. So stay where you are. We'll be back here in just a few on WTBQ.